You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it really is your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball, and I'm your host, TV producer and comedian Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. Today's date is the 14th day of October 2019, and we are going to be talking about the League Championship Series and how both of them are unfolding in two very different ways. This show is brought to you in part by Vivid Seats and is available on the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Player FM, Podbean. You know how to get podcasts. You're listening to one right now. Maybe you're on the website at lockedonmlb.com. But let me tell you, when you get in your car and you have a smart device, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Yankees with my friend Stacey Gatsoulias, as she will be talking, no doubt, about the American League Championship Series and how the Yankees did what they had to do in Houston, take one out of two. Follow this show on Twitter and Instagram at LockedOnMLB, or you can follow me, your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Well, I was a little worried that the Astros-Yankees game was not going to end before 2:30 in the morning California time, so I was relieved when the game ended that I had a chance to sit down and record this podcast. It's only been over for about maybe 10, 15 minutes at this point. But what a game. What a terrific game. What a dramatic game. And a game where there was good pitching on both sides. There was a clutch home run, at least one clutch home run hit by both sides. A few questionable calls from the umpire in the strike zone, but I honestly don't think that affected the game. And one player, you know, there's sometimes you have to have a controversy on who the player of the game is. No controversy today. Today was Carlos Correa. Remember Carlos Correa? He was injured for a big chunk of this year. But guess what? He's not injured now. In fact, he's doing a little bit of everything. He got a key double in the second inning to put the Astros on the board. He threw out DJ LeMahieu as he was trying to score from second base on a ball that ricocheted off of Jose Altuve. And he ended it all with an 11th inning walk-off home run that gave the Astros the 3-2 victory and a critical win for them, because game one was all Masahiro Tanaka. And you got to give Tanaka credit. Tanaka, this is going to sound weird, but he reminds me in a way of Eduardo Hernandez. Remember Eduardo? I'm not a Yankee fan. I've not been shy at all to say I'm a native New Englander and a Boston Red Sox fan. And Eduardo Hernandez used to kill the Red Sox. He dominated them in the playoffs in 99, and he came out of the bullpen to shut them down as a member of the White Sox when he won the World Series, helped them win the World Series in 2005. So you'd think I would hate Eduardo. I actually was intrigued by Eduardo because he was mysterious. He didn't quite know how old he was. He kind of hid his face, hid everything in the way he pitched. And he was a good pitcher. He was a good pitcher in the regular season. But once the calendar turned to October, you could rely on Eduardo to be damn good. Well, guess what? Tanaka is kind of like that. He's probably a better regular season pitcher than Eduardo, but you look at Tanaka's numbers, he's been really good, save for maybe one or maybe two starts. He has been super reliable for the Yankees, and they jumped all over Zach Greinke in game one, and Tanaka pitched so well that even Aaron Boone couldn't pull him out of the game until the point where the game got a little out of hand, and so he can go to the bullpen, and boom, there you go. And the Yankees took game one in a dominating way, and in fact, I wrote a tweet saying, we've replaced the Houston Astros with the Minnesota Twins just to see what would happen. And that's what it felt like, because in the three games against Minnesota, the Twins didn't really put up much of a fight. And then, here we go, the big showdown, and the Yankees smacked them around like the Astros were the Twins. And I thought, oh no, it's not going to be that kind of a series, is it? And then, no, No, it's not. We had the Game 2 thriller. And now, in a way, both teams did what they had to do. The Yankees had to win a game in Houston. They had to. They had to split the series. They did. Boom. They go back to New York with, technically, with home field advantage. Now, that home field advantage may not mean piddly-poo, because it was important that the Astros got a win today, because that way they're not down 0-2, because they're handing the ball to Gerrit Cole in Game 3. Now, Luis Severino has looked very, very good, and he's been well-rested, and he has, because he's barely played this season. And so I'm not belittling Luis Severino. What I'm doing is I'm praising Gerrit Cole, who is pitching at a superstar level right now. And you're handing him the ball, fully rested, and to say, look it, go out there and win. Win that game. And the bullpen will be rested too, because they have a travel day. They won't pitch tomorrow or today. You understand, I'm recording this on Sunday. So with that, the Astros have a clear advantage in Game 3. And Game 4 looks like it's probably going to be a bullpen game. The Astros will probably start Urquidy, and the Yankees will start, I don't know, the 14th caller on WFAN. I don't know the answer to that. And with that, I think the advantage would swing totally in the favor of the Yankees. So, barring a great upset, we're probably looking at this series tied 2-2 after Game 4, which means we're getting the thriller that we all thought we were going to get. And as someone, I mean, look, I really don't want to see the Yankees win. I'd make no bones about that. But I have nothing but respect for this Yankee team, who has found ways to win all year long, despite a comical number of injuries that they've had, which is continuing in the postseason. As Giancarlo Stanton, who's looked very good this postseason, or at least he's hit a couple of homers, had to miss the Game 2 marathon because of an injury. So we're going to see. It has all the earmarks of a great series, and it's going to continue. Gerrit Cole versus Luis Severino. It's not going to get much better than that. And by the way, look, I made no bones about the fact that I'm not a fan of the Yankees, but you can't help but be happy that CC Sabathia made an appearance, albeit a one batter, one, you know, left-handed one out guy, a loogie, but he was he got the job done. And it would have been sad if he let up the home run and see Sabathia walking off the field with his head down. You know, I mean, nothing against Jay Happ. I'm just glad it wasn't Sabathia, who is playing in his final games, and this might be the final series he ever appears in. So it's going to be something, and let me tell you, if you're in New York, and if I were you, I'd try to get to some of these games so you may be witnessing great baseball and making great memories. And let me tell you something. You want great memories? It's great to watch it at home. It's great to watch it in a bar. It's great to watch it with your friends, but it's even better when you're there, because then you feel like you're participating. You're part of it. You're part of the energy. You're part of the screams. And it's something you will never forget, the experience of being at a postseason game. So try to get tickets. And what I would recommend you use, Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams like the Yankees or the Nationals or whomever is home, or artists perform in person, earning credit back on all purchases made through the Vivid Seats app via the Vivid Seats Reward Loyalty Program. Vivid Seats helps fans find their seats to any of their favorite live events, sports, concerts, theater, all through the Vivid Seats app. Great prices and an easy purchasing experience. And the loyalty program is really something. The statuses range from MVP to Hall of Famer, and customers can earn from 10% up to 16% credit on all their purchases through the app on the month of October. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program and will enjoy credits on the purchases as part of the Vivid Seats Reward. All of Vivid Seats' confirmed orders are backed by a 100% guarantee. And guess what? If you enter promo code POSTSEASON at checkout, you will receive a discount up to $100. That's pretty darn good. So make a memory that will last a lifetime and get some help from Vivid Seats. All right, I know my mom is listening to this, so Mom, just do me a favor and skip ahead a little bit. That'd be great. Thanks. All right, everybody else, let's talk about sex. Good, ready-to-go sex. Now, you can increase your performance and build up your confidence. Everyone but my mom, listen up. I'm talking about BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra or Cialis, so you know they work. Take them anytime, day or night, on a full stomach, while stuck in traffic after a Dodger game. I don't judge. They're chewable, and they work twice as fast as the pill, so you know you'll be ready quicker than a manager can make a pitching change. Now, everyone I know has tested it, and I have many trustworthy friends who confide with me very personal details. They all tell me it gives them a little extra and it works great. Now, we baseball fans, we know all about getting a little edge with performance enhancers. And this is just isn't for people who can't perform. This is for anyone who wants something a little extra. Look, Blue Chew is prescribed online, ships to your door, discreet package, no in-person doctor visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, no awkwardness. In fact, the only awkwardness involved in Blue Chew is knowing that my mom is probably still listening. Made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Now, right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Go to BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 shipping. All of that just by going to BlueChew.com, promo code MLB. Once again, BlueChew.com, promo code MLB. Try it for free. Blue Chew, the better, cheaper, and faster choice. Thank you for sponsoring the Locked On MLB podcast. What is there to say about the National League Championship Series? There's not a lot to break down. It was pretty simple. It was Anibal Sanchez threw a no-hitter into the eighth. Max Scherzer threw a no-hitter into the seventh. It's wild that you had Sanchez and Scherzer doing that because they did, I'm sure you've read this already, that same scenario happened in the ALCS in 2013 when Anibal Sanchez took a no-hitter deep and was going to be a combined no-hitter that was broken up in the ninth inning by the Red Sox. And the next game, Scherzer did the same thing deep into it. And here we are all these years later, and they're doing it again. The difference is the Scherzer game where he dominated the Red Sox, they took him out of the game. They brought in the Tiger bullpen, which was awful. And they famously let up the, it was Albuquerque, let up the famous home run that David Ortiz hit with a cop jumping up and down and Torrey Hunter's flipping in there. It was the grand slam that tied the game. Now, here's a trivia question. We're going to get to the NLCS, but almost everyone forgets who got the walk-off hit in game two of that series. Everyone remembers Ortiz hitting the ball and the cop. But who ended the game? It was Jared Saltalamacchia, who was the Red Sox. Oh, they had a platoon to catch between Saltalamacchia and David Ross. And basically, everyone forgets that Salty got the walk-off hit, a base hit to left field that ended the game. But he did, and the Red Sox won that game, and they won the series. On another game where Scherzer was dominant, they took him out, they brought in the bullpen, and another grand slam was hit, this time by Shane Victorino. Well, guess what? There was no David Ortiz grand slam in this one, and the Washington Nationals have held the Cardinals to four hits and one run. Now, the Cardinals, half of the Cardinals' hits are pinch hits by Jose Martinez, and all of their runs were driven in by Jose Martinez. And even that has to have a little asterisk next to it because Michael A. Taylor, who had a fantastic game two at the plate, misplayed a fly ball that should have been the final out of the inning. Instead, it sailed over his head, and the Cardinals' lone run of the first two games came in. The Nats have a 2-0 lead. Isn't it unbelievable? The St. Louis Cardinals scored 10 runs in the top of the first inning against the Atlanta Braves. And against the Washington Nationals, they've scored 1/10 of that amount of runs over two games. It's unbelievable how much a pitcher's performance can make a lineup look either dominant or look like a bunch of little leaguers. Now, Flaherty's pitching for the Cardinals today. And all the pressure of the world is on St. Louis. Because they have to face Strasburg and they have to face Corbin. And all the Nats have to do is split. And they're up 3-1 and can clinch the game at home on, what is it, on Thursday afternoon. If they just, no, on Wednesday afternoon, my bad. I'm conflating the AL and the National League schedules in my head. Now, look, I want to make something kind of clear right now. I'm unabashedly rooting for the Washington Nationals personally. This is not because I'm slamming the Cardinals. It's just I'm a big fan of Sean Doolittle, who I've met a bunch of times, and I would love to see a series in Washington because it's something I haven't seen before. It isn't because I hate the Cardinals. There's nobody on the Cardinals to hate. And it isn't because of, you know, any bitter feelings or anything like that. No. If the Cardinals win the pennant, then they deserve it. They've had a fine season. They beat an Atlanta Braves team. I picked them to win that, but there was a very tight matchup. I just don't see this team winning. And part of me would like to see the Nationals win in 5 for this reason. I think it would be really great if the Nationals clinched in the early afternoon game, so everyone in Washington can be awake to see it. But that being said, and I can just hear the hosts of Resting Pitch Face screaming at me, obviously, you know, they're going to be rooting for a sweep. And I think it's a real possibility. I'm not a big fan of sweeps in baseball unless it's my team doing it. My team swept the Cardinals in the 04 World Series. My team swept the Rockies in the 07 World Series. And I had no sadness over that because I root for my team every day. I did not think that this could possibly be a sweep between these two. But do you know what? I also didn't expect Anibal Sanchez to absolutely dominate the Cardinals' bats. Now, there have been instances where teams have lost the first two games at home and won the series. Most famously, I think, is the 1996 World Series, where the Braves absolutely dominated the Yankees in games 1 and 2, and the Yankees just looked like the kings of just happy to be there, and the Braves were about to win back-to-back World Series title and answer all their critics about having won only one series. And the Yankees went on to win the next 4 games. Now, do I think that's going to happen here? No, I don't. But if the Cardinals are going to do anything, Flaherty has been a wonderful pitcher all year. They have to get off the mat, and they have to jump on Steven Strasburg and force him out. The Dodgers jumped on him in Game 5, but couldn't deliver the knockout blow, and he gave him some distance, and next thing you know, boom, the Nats wound up winning that series. So it's a huge game. Obviously, if the Cardinals fall 3-0, I don't see this team replicating the results of the 2004 Red Sox. So this is a must-win game. Or let me just call it a really important-to-win game for the St. Louis Cardinals. And we could see, it's a real possibility, that we could see one series go 7 and another series go 4. It's an interesting October how it's unfolding right now. Nobody thought this was going to be a... let me put it this way. When the Nationals were losing in the 8th inning of the wild card game, I guarantee you nobody thought of the possibility of the Nationals sweeping the NLCS. But it's a real possibility. Let's see how these games unfold. Go to the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. Go to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Player FM, Podbean, all the places you get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at LockedOnMLB. Same handle for Instagram. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter and Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Taking a look at the League Championship Series unfolding in two very different ways. This is the Locked On MLB Podcast for the 14th day of October 2019. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Do what you can do? You can call me Sully.